want to say that if you would like to join in the conversation, please press 1 and I can bring you live. Again, we're talking about, are you suffering in silence? And today we're going to look at the children. We're going to look at the children of domestic violence and how it affects them. So oftentimes the children will get lost in the mix when it is right in your face and they get forgotten, and finally, you know, we're focusing on the whole family. The abuser needs help. The victim needs help. And my God, the children need help. People say, well, they don't understand what they're seeing. They don't know what's going on, so they feel like it's okay. And that is definitely not true. That is not true. It doesn't matter the age of the child. They recognize it. They understand it. They may not always understand exactly what's going on, but they are witnessing the abuse, and that is not good, because they will grow up into adults believing that this is what relationship looks like. This is what men do to women and women do to men, and they grow up with this distorted idea of relationship. They actually believe that being abusers is the way of life. This is the way you dominate. This is the way you intimidate. And for boys and girls, we can't just say it's one-sided, because there's different aspects of it on both sides. For boys, most often than not, they will grow up believing that disrespecting women, instilling fear and intimidating women is the way to do and get what they want. Why? Because they saw daddy do it, or they saw a significant male in their life perpetrate abuse on their mother. That father figure is showing them what it is like and what needs to be done. I did look up some information, and you know, until you address an issue, you really don't know the backstory for a lot of it or statistics. I believe that everything that God has me to do, I am to research. If he gives me an idea on something, I am to research that I can have an educated conversation about it. Excuse me. In one place I found that it is noted that studies show that 3 to 4 million children between the ages of 3 and 17 are at risk of being exposed to domestic violence each year. That's not every 10 years, every 5 years, but each year, 3 to 4 million children are exposed to this behavior. It also went on to say that 95% of domestic violence cases involve women victims of male partners. The children of these women often witness that violence, and what they're witnessing, they're seeing it, they're hearing it, they're observing it, or they just may be aware of it. Our children are seeing our mothers being beaten and disrespected and cursed out, and they're seeing the fear, the manipulation, the intimidation. This is what a child sees in a home where there is domestic violence. They're seeing that when daddy's car drive up, a total fear comes on the mother. They know that so many things are based on how daddy walks in the door. This has to stop. Our children are suffering in silence because, one, maybe mom has said, don't tell anybody. you know, maybe mom is, you know, don't discuss this. Don't tell your teachers. Don't tell your friends. Don't tell grandma and grandpa. But they're being told to not tell because of what might happen. You know, whatever excuse that she may use, that's what she uses to keep it quiet, and which that in turn causes the child to start living a life full of lies. They start masking their pain. They start burying it deep on the inside. And when you're talking about children growing up with that kind of weight between 3 and 17 years old, and they never are able to talk to anyone, they're never able to turn to anyone because they promised mommy they wouldn't tell, or daddy threatened them to the point to not tell, that child will grow up to 60, 70 years old with that same scar, with that same issue, with embedded within them. It's embedded in them that this is the way life is. And anybody that they meet or see that are actually not involved, they don't understand it. When you're talking about children that witness domestic violence and what it affects, how it affects them, children will become bullies themselves at school. Children may even start having, you know, issues of bedwetting. They may constantly be sick with headaches. They may not have an appetite. They may act out. They may do so many different things, and you're wondering, teachers and official administrators are wondering, what is going on with this child? They weren't like this. Something is going on. And that's for those that are paying attention. You know, they don't understand. Everybody doesn't understand domestic violence. They want to give our children all of these medications to calm them down. They want to label them as troubled children. They want to just say the child is acting out. They want to call it so many things, and nobody really wants to investigate the problem. Excuse me, I apologize. The pollen is already kicking in. But when we look at different issues that our children are dealing with in school, like I said earlier, the child may become a bully themselves at school and realizing that I can be a bully and I can intimidate my classmates, my younger brothers or sisters, and it's never ending. It's never ending. And we need to really think about it because our young children are seeing this and it grows up. Our girls are looking at their daddies as examples of men to possibly, you know, mirror when they're looking at a young man as someone to date and even possibilities of marriage. And if daddy is the example that she's going by, and in the midst of dating, the young man starts abusing her, she sees it as, okay, that's okay. My daddy did it to my mom, and my mom stayed, and my mom would say, daddy loved me. So when this young boy says, I love you, and he's abusive to her, she sees that as normal. There's so many facets of this that it really needs to be dealt with. Our children are also suffering in silence. We're looking at bullying, teen dating, you know, and it grows up to the elder abuse. We have to be mindful that it didn't just start when that person turned 25. It didn't start when they turned 65. It didn't turn when they started 70 or 80. This has a root from a child. This was learned behavior. Now, that's not to say that every child that witnesses abuse is going to become an abuser themselves, but that successful board member, that successful athlete, that successful whatever, sometimes that's the upside. if you want to say it. You know, that's the one that saw it and knew it wasn't right and did everything they could not to be like daddy. They fought. They went to school. They got educated. They suppressed the anger. They suppressed it to where they wouldn't be. But that does not mean that the scars are not still there. And it doesn't matter who it is. There will be evidence of it at some point. You know, alcohol, drug use in situations like this, the kids, gang fighting, you know, the gangs in the streets, all of that, so much of it has to do with abuse and a situation at home, and the child figured it was safer to be in the street. And they remember, and they may say, nobody will ever treat me like that. Again, if you would like to join in the conversation, press 1, and I can bring you live. Again, this morning we are talking about the effects of domestic violence on our children. So many of our children are hurting, and they end up with so many of these. They're scarred for life unless they receive help, unless someone intervenes and recognizes what's going on and just asks questions. You know, our children may slip into, they walk around with a fear or a guilt and not knowing why when they get older because they've blocked it out. They don't want to think about what dad did to mom or vice versa. But you're going to see some signs of it with fear, guilt, shame. You know, the baby may not be able to sleep at night. They may start up bedwetting again. They may just walk around with sadness just dumped on them. Depression, anger. I mean, this will lead to so much stuff in our children. And we need to recognize it and not say, oh, they'll get over it. Oh, they'll forget about it. At least they're not being hit themselves, so it doesn't affect them. That is not true. If they witness it, if we as adults witness a crime or we witness injustice of any kind, it will bother us. It will stir up something on the inside of us. It doesn't matter whether it's at home, at work, at church, in the community, we'll always think about it. It will always bother it. It took a long time for me to see something that I knew wasn't right and to forget it because I'm like, how can you do this? How? I just need to know, how can you do this? How is this okay? And then every time it would come around or something close to that would come up, it would just make me think about that moment. So it doesn't matter how old they may get or how much they saw, it will still play a part in it, either to the extreme left or to the extreme right. But in all of it, healing and deliverance must take place. Education must take place to understand what is this doing to me. When we look, even looking in the scriptures, at Proverbs 6:22-6, the word says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What are we training our children with? Have they been trained by the domestic violence that they see every day? Are they being trained to be bullies? Are they being trained to be manipulators and violators? Are they being trained to intimidate? What are we training our children to do? What have they been trained to do? Are we training them to be liars? Because when we tell them, don't tell anybody, this is what's going on at home. Are we training them to cover up injustice and letting them believe that that's okay? We can't keep doing this to our children. That's too much weight to put on our children. And whether you're on the line today or come back and listen to the podcast, I pray right now that you will understand we must protect our children. We must protect our children at all costs because they're our future. They're what the country is going to be built up. They're building the country. They're going to be building ministries, and they're going to take what we've done and either run it in the ground or make it better. But wouldn't it be wonderful to have those children grow up to be whole, to be healed and delivered, to be understood, to be heard? You know, we have to be mindful of what we're opening the door up to for our children. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, I ask you to press 1 and I can bring you live. You know, everything that we do in life can be productive. So much of what we do can hinder, it can promote. It can be good, but only if we have God and the Word as our basis, as our source. You know, and you're going to even, in dealing with domestic violence victims, I've heard the anger towards God. Why would God allow me to go through this? Where is God when I'm going through this? I want to say this. It's not God's fault. God loves us, and it is not his intent for us to go through these things. He is there. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He will make a way. He will open the door of escape. He always provides a way of escape. Because someone comes up against you, that's not God. That's the enemy using that person to destroy you, to hurt you. And we need to get our thinking in alignment with truth of what's really going on. When we're facing issues of life like this, we have to be mindful that our children see it. Our family sees it, and God sees it. He's never left you. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. And God does not approve of the violence of a man, because he tells you in his word, a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. If there's a man that is abusing his wife and his children, he's worse than an infidel. He's worse, you know, straight up, he's worse than a heathen. He's worse than just a sinner. He's worse because he is not taking care of his family. So there are some very strong words that God uses when it comes to abusing the family and providing the family, and they are directed at the men. And we have to be mindful that God has the answer for us. But we must seek help. We must offer help. We must direct and understand that this is not of God. This is not of God. God is not doing this. He will give us a way out. There are so many different aspects and so many roads we could go down with this conversation. But today we're going to focus on our babies. I've dealt with situations. In fact, I deal with one where I have a mother that's pregnant. I've dealt with young girls who are married and pregnant, single and pregnant, and they've dealt with the abuse. And because they want to be validated at all costs by a man, regardless of how he comes, she will stay and endure. She does not realize her self-worth. She doesn't realize her value. She doesn't realize any of that, and not understanding you are actually putting your children in danger. You're actually hurting your children. And that has to stop. We need to value our children. Yes, our children are our future. But how do we want their future to look? Do we want them to continuously walk around with a cloud over their head, remembering the abuse that they endured? Or do we want them to grow and prosper and be in good health, even as their soul prospers? So much of what happens in the natural is a manifestation of what's going on the inside. And we need to really think about that. And know that God has a plan for us. Even he tells us in Jeremiah that he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards us. He knew what he knew us before he put us in our mother's womb. You know, in some instances in these relationships, if the child is not even wanted at birth, they're already starting out with a spirit of rejection on them. And so many women feel that if they give this man a child, if we could just have a baby, life would be much better. Even if she just believes that with everything in her, and he's not there, he may not want this child. He may not be ready. He just may not want it because of what's going on inside of him. That child will know the rejection from the womb. And we need to think about this. We need to look at all aspects of domestic violence, in-house, out-house. It's all around us. We have the number for domestic violence victims. I'm going to get ready to wrap up this week's show. If you or someone you know are dealing with domestic violence, it doesn't matter how small you might think it is, call the number if you're in it yourself or you're witnessing it and get some information to be able to help. There are advocacy programs in every city, every locality. There are advocacy programs, places to go for help. A number to call is going to be 1-800-799-SAFE. 1-800-799-SAFE. That translates into 7233. If you or someone you know is dealing with domestic violence, I encourage you to get help. I encourage you to get out. I encourage you to protect yourself and your children. It is not worth your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God does have a plan for your life. If you would like to reach me, I can be found on Facebook at Gloria Hawkins at Facebook. My website is tellthemministries.com, www.tellthemministries.com. If you desire prayer, you can go to my website and leave your prayer request. You can direct message me on Facebook. There's a number of ways that you can reach me. You can even reach out to Tell Them Ministries at Facebook.com. We are located all over the place. I encourage you again to seek help. I pray that this series has been enlightening and helpful, and to realize that you are not suffering alone. There is someone that is paying attention and noticing. There are a lot of someones because I know for myself that I am connected to a group of intercessors, and we deal with the issues of life. It doesn't matter what it is. We deal with it in prayer. If you desire prayer, again, you can message me, and we will be lifting your petitions before the Lord, seeking an answer on your behalf. We pray for your safety. I want to invite you to join me again next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. as we prepare for another Unmasking the Pain event. This is definitely God ordained. We have too many people that are hurting in silence, and they're growing old with those hurts and pains. So as we get ready to close out this week, I say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of those that have called in, whether you called in directly or whether you're listening via internet or whether you actually go back and listen to the podcast. I encourage you. I thank you for joining in. Again, if you are listening and you know someone who is suffering in silence, I beseech you, I beg you, suffer no longer. Reach out to someone to get help. You may find help in some of the most unlikely places. People that are standing by waiting to help someone, just talk about it. Get your child some help. Get some help for yourself. This is not about being religious. This is not about being legalistic. This is superior to someone else. This is about offering help. This is about healing. This is about being whole. This is about being free. This is about loving yourself and loving the God that created you and knowing that God loves you. God loves you. God loves us. And He is there with us. I just praise God for each of you. I thank God that whoever may be dealing with this, whatever aspect it is, that you will get help. I pray your strength in the Lord. I pray for angels to encamp about you, for your safety, and the Holy Spirit to touch your heart and your mind to understand that you must seek help. So for this week's broadcast, this is Apostle Gloria saying, have an awesome day. I love you, but know that God loves you best. And no more suffering in silence. God bless you. Until next week, have a great day. Have a great week. Seek the Lord for His direction. The Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and protect you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. Thank you for joining Tell the Ministries on the radio. I am Apostle Gloria Hawkins. As some of you may know, we are continuing our series on unmasking the pain. Are you suffering in silence? This is going to conclude for now our discussion on domestic violence in the home and in our families. We very well may come back and visit it. I know we will revisit in October, which is nationally known as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's known as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But we know these things happen every day, and not just in those designated months. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.